have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music, KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host, KBKM.
I'll stay right with the rock, homie. Won't catch me slipping.
Nah. Underdog like a Rocky, but still a champion. I or the tiger, I'm getting stronger, and yeah, it's evident. When my God with me, now who can stop me better yet? I ain't met a person yet. When the rock with me, come and flex. I just thought that you know. Come and kick it like you know. Gotta keep it with me, cause Ziggy heavy like a sumo. I'm taking off like a Rocky, shooting farther than Pluto. My father the reason I do this, and Jesus the reason I do most. So all hell to King, your boy so clean. That's why I rock on your pedal on the string. The beat stay bumping, the drummer stay drumming. My heart beat the different strokes, call it Mystic Drumming. And the new genres be summoning. That face mix with that hip hop, and I'm a tip top position. No flip flop and no pick stop, cause I'm with the rock and he with me. No tip top and no switches. There's a top back, there's a something in, cause he rides with it. You get it? Get it. When he with me, who's stopping? Underdog like a rock. Taking off like a rock.
Radio, Kimmy Kim. Today is November the 3rd. We finally got to the month of November. Just want y'all to know it's my birth month, but we'll keep going. Today is November the 3rd, Friday. I hope we have a good topic today. I was talking with a friend of mine. I was talking with Jason earlier in the week, and we had some things we wanted to discuss tonight. But before we get to it, I want to make sure he's here with us. Jason, you on with me right now?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. How you doing today?
Oh, man, I feel like I'm being fucked today. Welcome, welcome. Thank you, Sister Kimmy. Thank you, thank you. But welcome, Jason. Man, today's been a good day for me. This has been a really good week, the perfect day to cap off a wonderful week. I got some good news, man.
What you got? What you got for me?
Man, I finally got my car. I didn't have my car for about 3 weeks. I finally got my car back. So I can go from riding in the Nissan Rogue to back to riding in the Benz Arena so I feel better. As soon as I got in the car, life was different. I was like, I like this. I realized what I miss about my car. I drove my truck, but it just ain't the same, you know. Truck make me feel like I'm working, so I had to park the OML, you know, park it on side of the building. But my car makes life feel real good, you know. Probably got too long. I'm superficial. But, I had a topic I wanted to talk about today. You know, you and I, we were having a discussion. And, you know, I think about how this world is that where we live. I think about it. And I think it's a good topic for me because I kind of follow politics a little bit. And I try not to be so absorbed in it. But, man, my personal opinion is I'm not satisfied in the way that we're moving within our country. But at the same time, I want to be a part of whatever the movement is, you know. Another thing about this topic that's really making me think is taking this ethics class and talking about utilitarianism. And again, it's perfect for this because I think a lot of times when we are making decisions in life and in this world, we're really thinking about the greater good for ourselves, what's good for me. We're not thinking about the greater good for the population. We're not thinking about the greater good for people who don't agree with us. We're just thinking about the greater good for ourselves. So with that being said, Jason, we were talking this week, and the question came up, what would Jesus do? So in this political climate that we have today, the question is, would Jesus actually vote? That was the question, right, J-Dub?
That's the question we thought. That's the question on the table. Yes, sir.
The question on the table, would Jesus actually vote? Before we even try to get into this discussion, it's the two of us, unless you want to jump in, Sister Kimmy, you know, you're always invited. I was going to say, the point I want to make is, you know, everybody's entitled to their own opinion. You know, no matter how what I think about your opinion, it's your opinion. But I think that we need to put our thinking caps on. And let's think about the Word of God. Okay, let's focus on the Word of God. Because ultimately, the biggest issue we have when it comes to voting, I believe the biggest issue we have is faith. Right? Because, you know, we're going to be confronted with some choices. And there are going to be some of the choices we're confronted with that are addressed within the Scripture. Right? But then there are other choices that are not directly talked about in Scripture. So what we have to do, and we have to continually ask ourselves, what would Jesus do in this situation? And this is what we do. I believe that in John 13, you know, Jesus taught his disciples spiritual principles. I mean, he covered a whole litany of things. And we talked about righteous living. In John 13:15, he says, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." And so when I think about that, I'm thinking thinking about governance. You know, there are so many things. Like we've got different models of government in our history and what's going on in our world today. You know, got dictatorships, we've got constitutional monarchies, we've got a democracy, we've got republicanism, socialism, communism. I mean, we got all these isms, right, and different forms of government. But I want us to think about God's form of government, because whatever form of government we have here on Earth, it's not God's form of government. So I want us to kind of think about that, you know, put our thinking caps on. We'll see what we come up with, Jason. We'll see what we come up with. So the question is, would Jesus vote? In this world that we live in today, in 2023, the question is, would Jesus vote? And I'm going to save my answer for the end of our discussion, but I guess we would start at Jason. Well, let's start. If you don't mind, if you get it started, B, I know you text me a scripture that you wanted to come from, and I read the scripture, but I didn't fully understand how you were going to bring it. So you want to start out, B?
Yeah. So
go ahead and talk about it.
So I'm looking at 1 Samuel 8, and just right. To kind of give somebody the background, this is right. Samuel. This is kind of part of Samuel acting as a judge over Israel.
Right.
He's kind of getting older, so he's not able to do some of the duties that's been called for him. So in his stead, typically it would be in those times, normally the duties and responsibility of the father passes on to the son. Well, unfortunately, the sons, like we all experienced, wasn't quite like daddy, and they didn't do anything right. So I'm going to start reading at verse 4 and just kind of go through that real quick. And it says, this is a New Living Translation I'm reading from. Finally, all the elders at Israel met at Ramah to discuss the matter with Samuel. Look, they told him, you are old and your sons are not like you. Give us a king to judge us like all other nations have. Samuel was displeased with their request and went to the Lord for guidance. Do everything they say to you, the Lord replied, for they are rejecting me, not you. They do not want me to be their king any longer. Ever since I brought them from Egypt, they have continually abandoned me and followed other gods, and now they are giving you the same treatment. Do as they ask, but solemnly warn them about the way the king will reign over them. So, to answer the question on the table, would Jesus vote? I look at this scripture, and I think the way I interpret this scripture, when you hear God talk and you read God, hear how God talks about authority, my interpretation is the authority should always be from God and the people that He raises up. If you read the scripture, the people were calling for a king to rule over them, right? A king just like everybody else. So first thing, as we know, people of God, we are not supposed to subscribe to the things of the world. So even in their request, it was, hey, just like everybody else, give us a king. Now, if you think about what they were asking for, they weren't asking for freedom. They were asking to be under the rule of a human being. Now think about it. They're already under the rule of God. So it wasn't like they were rejecting, hey, I don't want to be under anybody's rule. I don't want to be under anybody's authority. I want my freedom. What they were basically saying is, I want authority, but I don't want the authority of God over me. Let's make it a man. So that scripture kind of, you know, my reading to that scripture is saying that God's displeasure toward the Israels during that time tells us that in his order, there should be only one God, only one Lord. You should be submitting to one authority figure, and that authority figure should be God himself. Now, in this example, it talks about a king and a kingdom, but fast forward, the authority of someone other than God continues in our modern democracy. what are we doing? You know, here in the West, in our Western culture in the United States, we have a democracy. In that democracy, we choose our leaders. Those leaders still, we choose people to rule over us. And unlike the king and the kingdoms that we see, it's for me, it feels like it's on the same line. So I'll stop there and kind of get what your get your thoughts and kind of you know what you think about the situation.
All right. Well, you know, I was thinking about this. I was thinking about our system of government, how you were taken there, and I thought about how our governments were organized. You know, our first secular governments. And as I was reading, I went all the way back to Genesis, bro. I went all the way back to Genesis and the city of Babel. And, you know, I thought about that, but then it took me on a path because, you know, one of my favorite books in the Bible is Jonah. So it took me on that path to Nineveh and you know, how their system of government was instituted. And the way it was instituted was that everybody on the top profited from the labor of all those, of all those below them. So the majority of the people worked, but the people at the top profited the most. And then I was thinking, now again, I'm just talking about our system of government first, but the things that I was thinking about, I was thinking about how those kingdoms or communities were ruled by a king who had his own power, his own will. And he didn't think about the people much, right? It was just mostly him. He didn't think about the city at all. A lot of the rulers, all they really wanted was they wanted more wealth and more power. And for me, when I think about that and I ask myself, well, what would Jesus do in this? Why would he want me to vote if he wanted me to vote? Or why would he vote if he wanted to vote, right? But then again, I'm thinking about how the king, how our governments were set up. You know, even back then, they were enslaving people, right? They manipulated the economies, and they did all these things. And think about this. That's the way the government started in the world. And we've been doing it as human beings. We've been doing it ever since. I mean, man, I could talk about Babylon. I mean, I could talk about a lot of different places and a lot of different things. And then I think about what happens in the government. Do we really want these selfish people ruling over us? As the point you brought out, Jason, they wanted a ruler, but the people wanted to be ruled when God made Saul the first king. You know, the people, we just had to have a king. So I started thinking about what is our system based on? What is our system of government based on? And it just takes me back to, more or less self-rule. For people, we want to rule ourselves, but everybody can't have a singular voice, right? It doesn't work. So we all join together, form communities. We can think about them as political parties. And, you know, that's how our government is. So I think that what has happened is we've gotten stuck in our worldview. Our worldview has not, it hasn't matured. It's, you know, they say how and this is the point I'm really trying to drive to. You know how they say there's a separation between church and state? They say there's a separation between church and state. And my question is, why is there a separation between church and state, Jay? Jason? All right, so my question is, why is there a separation between church and state? That kind of confuses me at times. But I think that the reason there's a separation between church and state, first and foremost, the first point that comes to my mind is that everybody in America is not Christian. I get fussed at a lot about that one, right? but it's not. And I think that when we think of with Jesus' vote, if you look at it from the way of the world, remember the first thing I said was not everybody's a Christian in the United States. Not everybody's a Christian, but we're all supposed to get along. But most of us look at voting, we look at politics from a worldview, and we assume, we are assuming that we are assuming that that the world is one thing. We see certain forces of evil in the world, and we feel like we must oppose the evil in the world, and we feel like it's a Christian duty. Hey, Kimmy, can you bring Jason back in? Somehow he got muted out. He dropped off. He just came back. I'll wait for you for a second here.
Hey, my man, can you hear me okay?
Okay, I can hear you now. I can hear you now. Okay, I know you missed what I was saying, but I was saying that as Christians, we tend to view voting and politics from a worldly view, right? As Christians, we just automatically assume that this is God's world. And what we don't recognize or what we don't allow ourselves to see is that there are forces of evil working in this world. And in this world, we have to oppose the forces of evil. That's just a quick summary of what I was talking about. But I was going into what the Bible speaks about Christ delivering us from all evil, from the present age of evil. And with that, I would actually have to go to Galatians 1 and 4. I'm gonna read it real quick, but I got to pull it up for a second. I'm sorry. But because it talks about, man, got to excuse my throat. It's getting really dry. Galatians 1 and 4, it says this. It says, Jesus gave his life for our sins just as God our Father planned in order to rescue us from this evil world in which we live. Okay, all the glory to God forever and ever. Amen. So when I think about voting, I think about things like that. I think about how our human society, the way we live, it's not of God's making. And then I start to think about, well, then if it's not of God's making, the way our system of governance is, then who made it? Well, in my opinion, it's more of a creation of Satan, right? Because when you think about our basic philosophies, the way we do business, our religious practices, you know, we're all deceived and we're all swayed and manipulated by who? The devil. Right? So sometimes I believe that the way we live in our life today is really the handiwork of Satan himself and not God. God created man. God created this world. But our system of governance, the way we rule today, is a very selfish way that we rule. And again, I'll point out we can go back to Babylon. We can look at the Babylonian society. Where we can go back and again we can look at the Babylonians, we can look at the how the Egyptians lived. I mean, we can go all the way back and we can really talk about this. But if you think about what Jesus said when he was talking to the Jews, he says, "You are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world." Right? So we are of this world, and what Jesus was saying to them is, you are of this world, but I'm not. And so his way of rule is much bigger. Of course, it's much better than our way. Now, again, how does this drill down to would Jesus vote or not? Well, there's a question, I believe it was in John. Pilate. had questioned Jesus about his kingdom, and Jesus answered him. He said, and this is a note that I have, that Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. Right? So we find that, again, we're talking about what Jesus vote, but we find that here, I think that Jesus, when you think about Jesus, he lived in this world, but he saw himself as a citizen of God's kingdom. Right? Now, here's the thing. For those of us who are here, for those of us who are thinking about it, is this right here, for those of us who are thinking about it, is if we are followers of Christ, do we see ourselves as citizens of God's kingdom or of this earth? And again, I find it hard to believe that anybody living on this earth, that anybody who sees the corruption, how myself will profess, and I know I see a lot of corruption, and I'm not a politician, I say, would Jesus vote? And I think that if we understand our system of governance, I vote. I am not going to skip voting. I vote because I look at our system of governance, and I believe that the way we rule, it's not a product of what God meant for us. I don't believe it is. It's what we have. It's what we do. I once had a friend. We used to talk about, we were talking about the Christmas tree, and we got into this deep discussion, Jason, and he was saying, mm-hmm. Well, it's what we do as Christians. We can take a thing that's evil or that's not meant for God, and we take it over, and then we present it to God, and we make it better because we make God first or whatever that is. And we were talking about Christmas, and we were talking about Christmas trees. And so he thought it was okay to celebrate Christmas and have Christmas trees, right? You know, and that was on the lines of the whole pagan movement, talking about Christmas trees, the pine trees were this thing, you know, the pagan worship, a pagan religion kind of thing. And so he said, well, what we do as Christians, we take over and we just make it better. Again, I don't know how that makes voting better, but I myself, I vote. Jason, do you vote? And if you do, why do you vote? And have you always,
so,
let me ask it that way.
So, like, so as I read the scripture I want to comment on something you said, and I'll come back and answer your question.
Sure.
It's interesting when you talk about the corruption that we're seeing today. It's interesting that you bring that up, of how, you know, our system is exploiting, is so exploitative and just corrupt and takes advantage, and the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. What's interesting about that is in that same scripture in 1 Samuel 8, this is what Samuel warned the people about if they leave from under God's authority and accept the king. You talked about how the king will reign over them and would draft their sons to assign them to the chariots and making them run before the chariots. You know, some of the people will be generals. Some will be in his army. Some will be forced to plow in the fields and harvest his crops. Some will make weapons and equipment. It would take your daughters and force them to cook and bake and make perfumes for him, talking about the king. Take away your best fields and vineyards and olive groves and give them to his own official, right? Take a tenth of your grain and your grape harvest and distribute them among the officers and attendants. So the corruption that we talk about, the corruption that you make mention of, is what was the warning that Samuel through Samuel warned the people about. So that for me just reinforces that this system that we in turned out to be exactly as God said it was going to be, and it's not the system that he has for us. Now, with that said, I personally, I don't vote, because one of my stances, and we talk about this all the time, is I don't want to participate in something that doesn't honor God. And if you look at the system of voting and just from a practical level, that system divides the body of Christ. And for me, it's like, do I want to participate in that system knowing how it affects the body? There is so much division in the church, and you see it more now than you ever had before because of our political views and the fact that, you know, on Sunday that I can't worship with somebody who may have a different political view with me. And that division, it shouldn't be there. So anything that lends to that division, I don't feel is of God, so therefore I don't want to participate in.
So I'm in total agreement that our system of governance definitely is not fair, and it is evil origins, right? But think about this. Satan is our greatest challenge. He's going to be our greatest challenge for forever and ever. He's Christ's greatest challenge. Right? And mm-hmm. But what happened? Jesus had to go into the wilderness. And who did he meet in the wilderness? He met Satan himself in the wilderness. And what did Satan do? He quoted scripture. And we both know, and we all know that when Satan quotes scripture, he's going to pervert the meaning. Right? Just like right. When in the Garden of Eden, when he said to Eve, this is my favorite thing he said. He said, surely he did not say you would die. Right? You take a bite of the forbidden fruit, you ain't gonna drop dead on the spot. But that's not what Christ meant, and Satan knew that. But what did Jesus do? Jesus withstood all of his temptations, and he rejected all his deceptions, right? And he refused to obey Satan, thereby conquering Satan and obeying God the Father, right?
Right.
And he basically sent Satan away defeated. So I vote because, listen. A lot of people say it's the lesser of two evils. A lot of people say, they say a lot of things about voting. My reason for voting is I don't want somebody in office who's going to be more like Satan. We don't need to. What was Jesus? I mean, let's think about Jesus. If you think about the way Jesus lived, the way he taught, the way he thought, would you believe that he was, would you say Jesus was liberal, Jason? Or would you say he was conservative?
I was thinking about that question as I prepare for this for today, and
uh-huh.
I think there are some aspects of Christ that leans toward the liberal, right? The part of him that love thy neighbor, help everybody out, make sure that you're giving and you're helping, right? Now, there's parts of the conservative movement I think we would honor Christ, right? The retention of the marital vows, the stance on, you know, abortion, right? The limited government, so that you don't have this overarching power and authority over you. So it's hard to say, you know, would Christ be this, because I do see certain views aligning with biblical principles on both sides.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
See, my big thing, even about our politics, our system of politics in this world, my big thing is Jesus would make you do nothing. I mean, he wouldn't make you do anything. He gives us
right.
a choice, right? And,
right.
and one of the problems I have with certain people in politics is they're going to make you be what – look, I'm a Christian. I follow Christ. I try to follow Christ. I try my best to be like Christ, right? But anybody who knows me will tell you I have a problem with commenting on other people, right? I don't really gossip about other people, but I guess sometimes you can say I do, but I try not to. I talk about people's clothes sometimes. Sometimes if somebody's just, I mean, like you go out and you're at a Christmas party or you're at work or you just at the mall walking around, you'll see somebody dressed a way that you find humorous or distasteful, and you comment on it. I will do that. Am I being Christ-like in those moments? I would say no, I'm not. Am I representing Christ very well in those moments? I would say no, I am not. But I tell you what, when I'm at, when I'm working for Christ, when I'm doing God's work, when I'm out here and I'm, let's say I am out here on a mission trip, I don't know what happens, but I no longer see that same person dressed that exact same way. It's not humorous. It's not comical. It's not distasteful. It's nothing because I don't see it. Why? Because I am looking at the spiritual aspects of life. Now, how does that tie into whether or not I vote? When I vote, my goal is to try to be as much like Christ as possible. And I'm kind of, I'll tell everybody, I'm a middle-of-the-road kind of guy. I have some conservative thoughts and beliefs, and I have some liberal thoughts and beliefs. But I'm more in the middle. I'm the guy who can live with or live without. Like, I don't mind you saying the Pledge of Allegiance. I don't mind you saying God or having a prayer in church. But on the left side, I'm for, let's use prayer. I'm for having prayer in the schools is what I meant to say, Jason. But check this out. When we have prayer in schools and we're praying to God, what about the Hindus and the Muslims, people of different beliefs? What are they going to do? See, my belief is they get to do their prayer as well. So I'm liberal in that sense, but I'm also the same guy who says gay marriage is wrong, but it's a personal choice. That person has to answer for that. Go ahead.
Right. And I totally agree with you, and I think when we talk about politics, and this is anything that's touched by a human being, we screw it up. Right, because although some of the values may be aligned with biblical principle, the execution is way off. God was a tolerant God. Christ was a tolerant Christ. You got to think about it. He could have at any point in time just said, you know what, I got the power of God in my fingertips. I'm just going to kill y'all off, and now y'all are going to worship me like y'all are supposed to. Right? But in the will of God, he's basically said, I'm going to let you, I have my permissive will that's going to allow you to make the choices in your life, right? So I agree on one hand that we, since God doesn't take free will away from man, neither can we, right? So to say like, hey, I have to now say this is, you can't do this, you can do that, that does not align with biblical principle because God does not take the will away from man. He gives man's free will to make the choice to honor him or not, right? Now, with that being said, I think if you look at where we are, and I like I said, I like to go back to that scripture in Samuel, when before Saul became the first king of Israel, Israel was under the authority of God himself. And what God would do was he would elect his judges to say, okay, now I need you for you to be my emissary to these people. And when one judge passed away, he would elect another judge and raise them up. So this person who operated in that capacity as leader was not someone chosen by man, was not somebody chosen or because they had the most the best commercials or people liked them the most or they were able to do the most for them. It was the person elected by God to lead and guide them. And when we made that departure to say, I no longer want God leadership in my life. I no longer want God to be the authority in my life. I'd rather have a human being ruling over me. And that's the thing that resonated with me as I read the scripture. The Israelites at the time weren't going from, okay, God, I want my own freedom. I want to do what I want to do. They basically said, I don't mind being told what to do. I just don't want to be told what to do by you, right? And that rebellion and that rebellious attitude, I think, is just foundational in any system that doesn't say, okay, God, you're first. And when I look at our modern political system, this not saying God is first, right? We're not saying that, hey, God is first in everything I do, and I'm going to follow him, and I'm going to lead and guide and direct him. It's, hey, how can I convince you in your power and your authority to vote for me to give me power and authority over you? And that, I think that's a continuation of that rebellion you saw in the Israelites when they asked for the king. I think that rebellious spirit is just, like I said, is foundational in the voting and our modern politics. So I hear what you say, and I agree with you on the points of how we're doing politics right now is so corrupt. But you got to understand, the Bible told us this is what's going to happen. God warned us. God forewarned us. You come from under my authority, and you go under the authority of a man, this is what's going to happen. So for me,
but didn't he say we should obey the laws of the land?
Right, but see, the thing about it, when he talked about obeying the laws of the land, and I remember that, you know, to be a good citizen, that's one thing. But the law gives us the ability to vote, but it doesn't require us to. So that same free will that God has always allowed us to use, we have to make the decision. And honestly and truthfully, I would say I'm not God, I'm not a judge, and I can't say what's the right or wrong decision. This is just all my personal belief. But in my free will to say, like, do I want to do things that I feel like honor God in the things that he do, that's why I make the choice to say, hey, I'm not going to participate in this endeavor.
So let me ask you this. So do you have any problems with what's going on in our political arena, not just the national, but your local, your neighborhood? Do you have any problem with things that are going on?
Of course we do. I mean, there's no way as a Christian I can sit here. Of course I do. There's no way as a Christian I can sit here and see the racism, the exploitation, the corruption in our system and be like, oh, there's no problem with it.
So what would you do? What would you have done?
What do you mean? What would I?
How would you confront it? How would you confront it?
Prayer. I have this saying I tell everybody all the time, and I know people don't like it. I could care less who sits in the White House because I know who sits on the throne. And to combat the things that I see, it's not a political issue. It's not a worldly issue. It's a spiritual issue. And the only way for me in my mind to combat that spiritual issue is the Spirit of God. And inviting him into this place and allow him to reign over everybody. And to your point, not everybody is Christian, but I truly believe God has dominion over everybody, whether you believe in him or not.
So, and if I'm going along with what you're saying, I'm going along with what you're saying, because I remember I was talking about Pilate, and that was, a lot of that came from John. I think it was chapter 18, but I was talking about Pilate, and I was talking, and I was going to go ahead and say, you know, Pilate was chosen to be king. You know, he was born to be a king and all this other great stuff, right? And we know that Christ is going to establish his rule and his kingdom. He was going to establish his rule on earth, and he was going to be king, right? And so Pilate is a king here on earth, but Jesus didn't preach. How do I say this? Because I'm gonna go with what you were saying earlier. Is that Jesus preached to the world and he warned the world, just like you were saying, Jason, right? And he remained separate from politics, right? So who was Jesus talking to? He wasn't talking really. His audience wasn't the politicians. His audience were fools and the people, right? And Jesus taught God's way. And the point I want to get to is, if we don't participate in our system of governance, then God will have no place in our governance at all. It will be a complete separation of church and state. Our government will be filled with liars, cheats, these, you know, people who want to do, and it's still filled with these people, but people who want to do what they want to do, and they mean us harm. See, I say we vote. I respect what you said, but I say we vote because we need to have a say. So everybody needs to know that there are limits to what we can and cannot do. It doesn't matter what your position in society is. There is a limit. And like you, I pray, but I believe that I can do more than just pray. It's doing the deed. It's going out getting dirty. It's going out when you see somebody and they need something. You don't have to wait for them to ask you. You can offer to help, or you can just jump in and help. And I think with our voting, for me, voting is almost the same type of thing. A lot of bad going on, a lot of wrong on both sides. I don't care if you conservative, liberal, whatever your political stance is. Excuse me, I believe you have to have a say-so. I believe that there's an approach for this war. I believe that we need to. Those of us who understand God's message, who are being taught the word of God, we have to get out. I believe that we have to inform people. We don't have to force people to acknowledge Christ. Because I don't think that's Christ-like, but I think we have to talk to people, and we can't. Look, politicians are people, and we need to talk to them. And the way we talk to them a lot of times, because we can't be in their presence, is our vote, right? We have to have a say-so, because if it wasn't for voting, I mean, there never would have been. There are those of us who wouldn't even be able to vote right now.
Right.
Go ahead. I'll wait. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, and I think you say something, though, right? I think you say something that, you know, and for me, I feel like you're completely totally right. Our voices have to be heard, and we have to be the hands and feet in God through our voices. But for me, that voice is not through the voice of my vote. It's through the conversation I have with that man on the street, with that checker in the grocery store line, with the random lady who's helping me, who's serving me that day when I'm in a restaurant. Right, if you look how Jesus carried himself when he was here, he didn't get a big platform to operate off of. You know, when his real work in building the church was with those 12 men that he walked with every day, you know, day in and day out. Yes, he did his sermons, and those sermons were powerful sermons, and they did a great will of God. But the foundation of the church and what we're called to do when we talk about discipleship and Christ, Christ's example of discipleship is a walk with the individual in an intimate, close setting. It's not in these big platforms through voting, through even through the church and the pastor. That's not what the body of Christ was designed to be like. So for me, I hear everything that you're saying, but the more I think about it, the more I ponder over it, the more I just kind of look at the life of Christ and Scripture, the more I lean to this political system that we're in is exactly what God called it to be, and it's something that he never wanted for us. So then why as a follower would I continue to operate in it?
That's interesting you say it that way. But again, I'm on the other side. Again, I'm talking about the other side. I think when we do cast the vote, I think about our conscience. Right? I think about my conscience. When I go in to vote, my conscience is what's important, because I want to be informed by the Holy Spirit. Right? I want to be faithful to the Word of God. So I don't want to see a bunch of immoral things happen. In this world, everything is so convoluted. Like, we can't separate ourselves from this world. We can't.
Right.
We can try. But we can't, because we got to live in this world, right? But we're of this world. We don't have to do the evil thing. When it comes to voting, I think we should vote out of love. I think our conscience, we definitely have to seek Christ. Because even if I never have any political power personally, myself, I don't want someone ruling over the rest of the people and myself in this country, who is, beyond a shadow of a doubt, you know, let's say not good. I'm going to be nice about it. I'm just going to say not good. And I think that through our vote, we can actually cast out a lot of this evil that's happening. We have to exercise our rights. And I think that that's one of the things we don't do enough of. We don't get out and exercise our rights. We'll get out for things that are traumatic, but we won't be that subtle, quiet leadership, even for politicians. Everybody needs an advisor. I'm a firm believer in that. Because I like to think that if we elected Christians into office and they had solid, what's the word I'm looking for, Jason? People around them. They had a good
accountability
around them. Accountability partners, that's the word. I think this country would be a better place because we could hold people responsible. We understand that when you get a lot of power, you know, you get to, you know, people with power, they get to do what they want. What do they say? Power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. You know,
mm-hmm.
But I believe we need Christians in positions to be the conscience of this country, the conscience of this nation, because if we don't, I mean, look at what we got now. Look at how bad it's getting. And it's been bad before. It was probably worse before. But right now, today, it's bad. It's really bad. I mean, we got wars in Israel. We got wars in the Ukraine. And those are just the two popular wars that we talked about because we never go over to Africa. We never go over to see what's going on in Chad, right? I mean, see what these people are doing over there. They're killing each other just like they're everywhere else. But at least, you know, in America, our system of government, we can have a say-so. It may be very small. It may be very big. But we can have a say-so. Jason, would you admit the election of Barack Obama was a good or bad thing for the country?
I think, you know, I mean, I think it's mixed message. I think there are some parts that were really, really good, right, you know, in a sense that we got to see some of the what we felt like systemic things, there was a feeling that things got overcome, right? But to say it was an absolute good, no. I wouldn't say that.
Yeah, but I can't think of anything I can say is an absolute good.
Right. So
when I went to church and I gave my life to Christ.
That's an
when
absolute
I say I was,
good, right?
No, when I say I was, when I say, because I was still Cedric.
So, for me, when you ask me, was it a good thing? I mean, it was a thing, right? It was a thing that we did in the culture. But ultimately, as I evaluate good and bad, did that action bring God's will into this earth any further, any more, any less? And that's the reality. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
You know, we're lucky. You know, here in America,
we're
lucky because we're not voting for religious freedoms, right? There are some places in this world that if the wrong party gets in place, my ability to worship Christ becomes completely and totally prohibited, right? And you know, here in America, we don't have that. You know, it does not matter who I vote for because I can still worship Christ freely in what I do, and so when
for
you
now.
Ask me. Right. So when you ask me, like, the results of an election, I look at it as, hey, did this result help bring the will of God, into the world that we're called to do? And from that point, it's always neutral. You know, there has not, at least in my lifetime, I don't feel like there's been ever an election that says, okay, now the will of God can now be served better from this election.
Okay, I mean, I could buy that for $10.30. But I'm on this side. Again, I'm on the other side where I say, because I'm not telling people to vote or not to vote. I'm just saying my case for voting is a very simple one. And I think with the sinful nature of this world that we live in, it's important that we pray about these things, and it's important that we participate in our system of government. And again, because just because we acknowledge the government, just because we vote, it doesn't mean that we've given up on God, because, again, I believe two things can be true. I can love God with all my heart and soul and still go out and cast a vote. I can.
Yeah.
Every person that we elect to office is going to be imperfect. Man or woman, they're not going to be perfect. But there are going to be some that are going to be a lot better than others. There are going to be some who think more about the people than they do just themselves. You know, we can't help it. Politicians are always going to be rich the way we do our system of government. They're always going to get rich. They may be poor when they get in office, but give them 2 to 5 years, they're going to be well off. And then give them another 3 years, they're going to be super wealthy. All right? They're going to just jump right over being rich and become super wealthy. That's there. But I think that as long as we keep Christ at the top, as long as we understand that the Most High is the ruler of all of human beings, all of the kingdoms that we can set up on this earth, right? I think if we remember that, me personally, again, I just want to have a, I want to feel like I have a say-so. Let's put it that way. I want to feel like I have a say-so. And in our country, a majority rules supposedly, minus the Electoral College, nothing's perfect in this world, is it? You know, we might be able to make a difference in it, because I wouldn't mind being an advisor to a politician to try to keep them straight, you know. But, you know, we have different types of Christians. Am I right, Jason?
Right.
Ain't that a problem with Christianity? You were talking about division before. Ain't that a problem with Christianity? Division?
I truly believe, and I heard, I think it was Tony Evans says it, you know, and he talks about how we sometimes identify ourselves as Christian, and sometimes we put that delineation of, like, liberal, conservative, I'm a conservative Christian, right? And he said because we have the conservative in that pre-position, it kind of informs the post-position. What we always should be is Christian first, and then whatever our political beliefs fall second, after we align our personal and all our beliefs in line with Christ, right? I'm not a conservative Christian, right? I'm a Christian first, and then whatever views after I align all my views with Christ, whatever views that may still be there are going they might lend to be conservative. I'm a Christian liberal, right? Which means all my views that will align with Christ, and whatever little bit that's left, then I can align that with that liberal thing. You know, and I love how Tony Evans said that.
That's an interesting point. Because again, my position on voting. Now, again, would Jesus vote at the end of the day? So we don't know. Did he vote in his day? I don't think they really had votes back then, but I don't know. I don't think he did. I know when he spoke to one of the rulers, which would be Pilate, he had some questions, and Pilate had some questions. But I think today, I think voting is a very sticky topic, but I think it's sticky, and I think it hangs over us the way it does. Now, this is Cedric talking, people. I think it hangs over us the way it does because we, deep down in our hearts, we want to live in a better place. We really want the world, we want our world to be based on Christ. We want God to be front and center, but we want to be free to worship him wherever we are. And I go even a little bit further. That's what I hope for. The things I love about where we live and how our system of governance is set up is we can worship. We do have freedom of speech. We can talk about God. Now, you know, we all know there's some problems in the workplace and all that stuff. I get that. And in school, I get that. I understand that. But check this out. What if we taught a lot more about Christ at home? Jason, do you think that would make a difference in this world if we taught more about God at home?
Almost definitely.
Because I certainly have a problem. And I will tell you, because I don't know if Jesus would vote or not. In my mind, I think Jesus wants me to vote. I'm just gonna keep it real and be honest. I think that's my choice, and I think that because he gave me that choice, I want to exercise it. Our system of government is supposedly set up this way. I have a hard time thinking that I'm just going to throw everything out the window. I don't know. How do I say it? I don't want to speculate on which way Jesus would vote. Was he liberal? Was he conservative? However we put it, I don't want to go that far. But I think that with the founding of this nation, you know, this democracy we live in, I think we would all benefit from the vote. Now, the question is, who do we vote for? But that's a whole different topic for a whole different day. Jason, we got to close out here in about 30 seconds. You got anything else you want to say? You want to close out with anything?
No, just, I mean, I love these conversations. And just followers, you know, I think these are the conversations we have to engage in to sharpen ourselves and challenge ourselves and just stay in alignment with what God's will is for our life.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Well, I'm going to leave y'all with this. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I do want y'all to really let that soak in. All right? If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. I would encourage everybody that it's November, election season is here. I would encourage you to pray about it. Don't pray too long. Go out there, cast your vote. Do what you got to do. Jason, I'm going to encourage you to do the same thing. And you know what we say about this time. Find something you love. Embrace it. Chase it. And that is your relentless pursuit. As well as the Cedric of Jason. Wish you a wonderful weekend. God bless you. God keep you.
I stoned you to death. I made you bleed on your cross to your last breath.
Lord, was I really worth it? Cause apart from you, my life is all worthless. Ain't no point in working, cause it's all in vain. Without a real purpose, I really need to change. I don't know how, it's amazing that you even called me. Lord, I'm in all see, my struggles still haunt me. Random women every night, just to feel wanted. To feel like a man, cause my daddy didn't want me. Had a past pain, addicted to Mary Jane. Father on cocaine, money down the drain. Baby mama drama, got me going insane. I know I've been redeemed, but
here
I don't feel the
change. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
I'm paying homage to your Father, that's my only option. After you ripped the veil and gave me the gospel, so I could see the truth, so I could walk with you. And that's the greatest thing that anyone can ever do. You really saved my life when I was worse at it. An addict on any level for pleasure, pain, and passion. I could never grasp it, cause it's never lasting. But Lord, you everlasting. I burn my flesh to ashes so I can walk with you. Your love is unconditional. So even though I struggle with my past, you still see me through. Sometimes I get it wrong. I fail plenty times. But I get back up and I ride your son and die for my eternal life. So now I'm still tight. God inside, you give me light. Now I'm saying I will fight. All my pain, hurt, and my struggles in my past life. Lord, you wipe away my tears every night.
Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down.